Blog Talk Radio.
It's the One Mic Stand, Simply May, and I am Simply May. Hi. We're excited to be convening on this President's Day weekend. Although, who really celebrates President's Day? Not us, but we'll take those days off. I am Simply May, your host for this evening. If you love those social media streets, you can follow us and converse with us at One Mic Stand Show. That's O-N-E. MICSTANDSHOW. Of course, we started the show off with the Jackson 5, ABC, Black Michael, as we say in the Black community. A very exciting show for you. Today, you get to meet the candidate. We'll be talking to LaJoy Law, who is seeking a seat in the District of Columbia State Board of Education, specifically representing the Great Ward 8. If you've ever listened to the show, you know I'm excited to have this conversation, but you also know that we have a couple of things we do before we converse with our guests. Conversate ain't a word, folks. Conversate ain't a word. If you have nothing else to this show today, know that conversate is not a word. So, I'm very excited to be chatting with the lovers and the haters today. I appreciate you taking time out of your weekend to tune into the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. And we could not host this show if it wasn't for the sponsors. So the deal is, cash out sponsors out sporadic through the show. Stand Omni Media, a diverse digital media brand who uplifts the voices and cultures most often silenced, is responsible for ensuring that but when my family DNA is heard internationally. If you are interested in learning more about the work Stand Omni Media or advertising your business, brand, or service on any of Stand Omni Media's productions, please visit to www.wheredoyoustand.com. That's www.wheredoyoustand.com. We want to thank you so much for continuing to provide a platform for us as we work to make sure all you need is one mic. I'm going to get on my soapbox in a second, but how about another song?
No matter time, no place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand. I remember one year my mom took me school shopping. It was me, my brother, my mom, oh, my pop, and my little sister all hopped in the car. We headed downtown to the Gallery Mall. My mom started bugging with the clothes she chose. I didn't say nothing at first, I just turned to my nose. She said, "What's wrong? This shirt cost $20. I said, "Mom, the shirt is plaid with a butterfly collar." The next half hour was the same old thing. My mother buying me clothes from 1963, and then she lost her mind and did the ultimate. I asked her for Adidas and she bought me Zips. I said, "Mom, what are you doing? You ruined my rep."
She said, "You're only 16, you don't have a rep yet."
I said, "Mom, let's put these clothes back, please."
She said, "No, you go to school to learn, not for a fashion show."
I said, "This isn't shining now. Come on, Mom, I'm not Belva. Mom, please put back the bell-bottom Brady Bunch trousers. But if you don't want to, I can live with that. But you gotta put back the double knit reversible slack." She wasn't with it, everything stayed the same. Inevitably, the first day of school came. I thought I could get over. I tried to play sick, but my mom said, "No, no way, forget it." There was nothing I could do. I tried to relax. I got dressed up in those ancient artifacts. But when I walked into school, it was just as I thought. The kids were cracking up, laughing at the clothes mom bought. And those who weren't laughing still had a ball, but they were pointing and whispering as I walked down the hall. I got home and told my mom how my day went.
She said, "If they were laughing, you don't need them, because they're not good friends."
For the next 6 hours, I tried to explain to my mom that I was going to have to go through this about 200 more times. But to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand. My parents went away on a week's vacation and they left the keys to the brand new Porsche. Well, they mind? Well, of course not. I'll just take it for a little spin and maybe show it off to a couple of friends. I'll just cruise it around the neighborhood. Well, maybe I should. Yeah, of course I should. Pay attention, here's the thick of the plot. I pulled up to the corner at the end of my block, and that's when I saw this beautiful girly girl walking. I picked up my car phone to perpetrate like I was talking. You should have seen this girl's bodily dimensions. I honked my horn just to get her attention. She said, "Was that for me?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Why?" I said, "Come on and take a ride with a hell of a guy." She said, "How do I know you're not sick? You could be some deranged lunatic." I said, "Come on, talk. My name is the Prince. Besides, would a lunatic have a Porsche like this?" She agreed and we were on our way. She was looking very good, so was I, must say. Word. We hit McDonald's, pulled into the drive. We ordered two Big Macs and two large fries for Coke. She kicked the shoes off onto the floor. She said, "Drive fast, speed turns me on." She put a hand on my knee, I put my foot on the gas. We almost got whiplash. It took off so fast. The sunroof was open, the music was high, and this girl's hand was steadily moving up my thigh. She had opened up three buttons on her shirt so far. I guess that's why I didn't notice that police car. We're doing 90 in my mom's new Porsche, and to make this long story short, when the cop pulled me over, I was scared as hell. I said, "I don't have a license, but I drive very well, officer." I almost had a heart attack that day. Come to find out the girl was a 12-year-old runaway. I was arrested. The car was impounded. There was no way for me to avoid being grounded. My parents had to come off of vacation to get me. I'd rather be in jail than to have my father hit me. My parents walked
walked in and I got my grip. I said, Mom, Dad, how was your trip? They didn't speak. I said, I want to plead my case. But my father just shoved me in the car by my face. That was a hard ride home. I don't know how I survived it. They took turns. One would beat me while the other one was driving. I can't believe it. I just made a mistake. Well, parents are the same no matter time or place. So to you other kids all across the land, take it from me. Parents just don't understand.
It's the one mic stand with Simply Nay. We are brought to you by Eve for Eve Online Premier Dating for women who love women. Check them out at EVE, the number 4, EVEonline.com, and on all of your social media sites. Again, if you're interested in advertising on the one mic stand with Simply Nay, you can visit us at www.wheredoyoustand.com. You can click on radio. Scroll down to sponsor, and all the information you need is right there. We'd love to share a product, business, or service who listen to our show. I told y'all I'm excited to have this conversation, but we start our day with Simply Nay's Soapbox. And today, you might be rather surprised about what I'm standing on my soapbox for, but it's fine. And if and when you have something you want to talk about, you also can get on yours. So, y'all are taking it abundantly too far when it comes to tagging Wendy Williams for a comment that she made this week on her show. Now, I'm not standing on my soapbox in defense of that specific comment. I am rather standing on my soapbox in defense of the fact that there are often individuals who do not view Wendy Williams and start in their critiques with, I don't watch Wendy Williams, but, and that's why I don't watch Wendy Williams. Like, every attack on this lady in her show goes in that exact order. In that exact order. Y'all don't even watch the show. So, I think that if you're not familiar with her style, with her delivery, with the culture of the program, it's really difficult for you to take a piece of hot topic and feel some kind of way about it. For those of you who have absolutely no clue what I'm referencing, last Wendy Williams made a comment referring to the LGBTQ community, specifically saying that men wear as many dresses, feminine apparel as they wish, but they'll never be as much of a woman as women are. That wasn't the best comment. But we have her days where the things that she said in the best way. She went on to explain she didn't mean it in that way. She just meant fish is fish. Like, you know what I'm saying? And proceed to talk. If anyone knows about the culture of the fag hag, you know that Wendy is and will always be a fag hag. This is a fact. Now, you can't sit and police the comment that a fag hag makes about the fag community. They've been embraced, accepted, amplified, and upstood within. Furthermore, if you ain't watching Wendy, don't watch Wendy and don't be worried about what she says. But for some of us, it's the height of our lives, such as me. It gives us a good laugh. Sometimes she doesn't know what to say, and sometimes she says exactly what the world is thinking. I'm going to get off my soapbox, but I just really wish that we make more statements about speaking out of place because that's what everybody else is doing. It's really unbecoming. Now, I can't tell you what to do with your free time. I can't tell you what to watch, but I can tell you that I watch Wendy Williams rather frequently. And so it's important to me that when I'm engaging in a conversation or something they know and love, that I'm engaging with folks who are informed and aren't just speaking out the side of their neck. If that's not you, let's just drop it, okay? And let's worry about the celebrities we support and what they are doing. And before I get off my soapbox, I just want to take a moment and say, Oscar's going to do what the Oscars do. Cynthia Erivo, you were robbed. You were fucking robbed. You were robbed. And I fully believe that they didn't want you to become an EGOT and that is why you did not receive the Oscar. Lastly, a bonus on my soapbox. What we're never finna do was never going to happen. I cannot stand for us dressing white people as slaves. That's what they did. If you look at the video of her performance, what you will find is that they dressed white people in the style of slaves. Extremely unbecoming, not something I'm a fan of, but I'm going to get off this soapbox. What have we learned here? Number one, leave Wendy alone. Fuck with her or don't fuck with her. That's it. Number two, Sia Erivo was robbed. Number three, we're not going to put white people in slave garb anymore because that's not okay. After the song, you're going to hear from our guest on the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. If you haven't caught on, all of our music is about education and such.
Your story sad. Your story sad to tell. A teenage ne'er-do-well, most mixed up, non-delinquent, on the block. Your future so unclear now, what's left of your career now? Can't even get a trade in on your smile. Missed your midterms and flunked shampoo. Well, at least you could have taken time to wash and clean your clothes up after spending all that dough. I had the doctor fix your nose up. Baby, get moving. Why keep your feeble hopes alive? What are you proving? You got the dream, but not the drive. If you go for your diploma, you could join a steno crew. Turn in your T's and comb and go back to high school. Beauty school dropout, hanging around the corner store. Beauty school dropout, it's about time. Well, they couldn't teach you anything. You think you're such a looker, but no customer would go to you unless she was a hooker. Baby, don't sweat it. You're not cut out to hold the job. Better forget it. Once their hair done by a slob, now your bangs are curled, your lashes twirled, still the world is cruel. Wipe off that angel face, go back to high school. Baby, don't blow it, don't put my good advice to shame. Baby, you know it. Even dear Ivy say the same. Now I've called the shot, get off the pot, I've really gotta fly. Gotta be going to that malt shop in the go back. back to high school.
It's the one mic stand with Simply Nay. Yeah, I'm Simply Nay, and this is the show. And we have none other than LaJoy Law on your radio. How you doing today?
Hey, Nay.
How are things on this Sunday evening?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you all for having me on the show. This is exciting.
No problem. Thank you for being here, as we tell all of our guests when you stop by.
Yes, yes. Putting Ward 8 on the map. That's what we got to do.
Indeed. And so to all the fine folks who listen to One Mic with Simply Nay, do you mind introducing yourself?
Hey, everybody. Thank y'all so much for having me. My name is LaJoy Law. A lot of people in the community know me as Ms. Law. I have an 8-year-old daughter. Her name is Abria. She goes to Rocket Ship Legacy. I'm a Ward 8 resident. I've lived in Ward 8 since Abria was one, so it was about 2012, and she was actually at the National Children's Center, and I just kind of have fallen in love with Ward 8. I love our families. I love my daughter, and we just got to be here for our families, so I'm just excited.
Now, that was a beautiful introduction. Can you tell me, I know this already, but for folks listening, what exactly are you running for? The larger scope of things, yeah. What somebody on the state board, what is state board education?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm running for the state board of education representative for Ward 8. So on the state board, there are 8 seats, so each seat represents a ward, and then you have an at-large member. So I'm running for the Ward 8 seat on the State Board of Education because, honestly, I just really want to be there for families. I really want families to have a voice at the table. I want my daughter to have a voice at the table because oftentimes folks are making policy and programs and all of these other great ideas, but they're not including family voices. And I just don't think it's okay to have all of these policies and not have families at the decision-making table with you to make these policies. Like, for example, the state board is not a school board, but they do have control over, like, graduation requirements, right? Like, how many community service hours do you need? They have approval over the state report card and accountability framework. And they also deal with some teacher preparation programs. So they kind of deal with, like, just a little bit of everything. But one thing that I highly want to focus on is making sure that families are heard in those conversations, especially families that have children with disabilities, like the report card. The STAR framework that's on there, if you go to each school's website, not school website, if you go to the school, like the school report card, and you look at the different schools, they have a STAR rating. But what's troubling to me is, how does this help a family who has a child with a disability? Special education is such a huge concern for a lot of families. Aussie did some framework on this. 1 in 5 children in the district have a disability. That's a lot of children. And those are children that are diagnosed. We're not even talking about the children who aren't diagnosed. So it's just important to me to really, have those conversations and to have that voice in those conversations, because oftentimes our children with disabilities get overlooked. Special education gets overlooked. And I just think it's time to have a real integrated conversation, not just with the State Board of Education, but just in education in the city, period. I hope that was helpful. Was that helpful?
Well, that was extremely helpful.
Okay.
How long has it been and on your heart to run for office? Like, how did you become inspired to even want to be involved on this level?
A lot of this started with my daughter. Abrea was born just like really, really early. And I kind of got thrown into the special education world. And I just, you know, she was like my first kid. I had no idea what was happening. And I'm like, what is an IEP? What's early intervention? What's strong start? What's early stages? And I just kind of got thrown into this, right? And so I was just doing like a lot of research on my own. I was just doing a lot of advocacy because I'm like, okay, you know, she's a really sick baby. She's a really sick little kid. And I have to make sure I'm there for her. But then I realized, well, wait a second. As I'm advocating for Abrea, I know I'm not the only mom going through this. I know I'm not the only parent going through this, the only family. There has to be other families that are struggling with this. So I was like, wait a second, we have to reach back and to bring somebody else along. So I just started getting involved in, you know, like community events, getting involved at our school, getting involved with an organization called PAVE, Parents Amplifying Voices in Education, and, you know, just engaging different stakeholders around the city and in Ward 8. And so I just thought, you know what, like, it's time to take this to the next level. Like, we have to have parents at the decision-making table when these programs and policies are being made. And I just kept talking about it, and I prayed on it, and I was like, Lord, is this something that you want me to do? And the good Lord was like, I want you to do this. And I said, okay. I said, I've been fighting for families. I currently work at Advocates for Justice and Education. A lot of people know it as AJE. And there we're, you know, just helping parents, you know, navigate the educational system. So I think it's always been on my heart to do as I've kind of taken this journey. I think I just feel so blessed and honored that I'm even doing this to be able to represent families in Ward 8. Because oftentimes I think Ward 8 gets left behind. And honestly, that's just not cool. Like, you know, we got to do better. Like, we have to do better for our Ward 8 families. We have to do better for our kids.
So where are you originally from?
So I was born in D.C. I grew up in PG County, so I grew up in Bowie, Maryland. Went to school for a little while up in Wisconsin. Came back home, moved back to D.C., and I've just been here ever since. My daughter, again, Abrea, was born in D.C. We were actually in Ward 4 for a little while. Up on Georgia Avenue, but what happened was she was going to the National Children's Center, NCC, which is in Ward 8, and I was like, you know what? I was like, it's just time to move closer to, like, where her school is, so that way, you know, I could just kind of get to her a little bit faster. And then when I moved in Ward 8, I was like, it's beautiful. Like, it's just so many amazing things here, and it's a shame that people paint Ward 8, you know, in the stereotypical way. Because it's filled with just amazing folks and amazing families. And I just think we should really shine a light on that.
So could you shed some light? Because you went to school in PG and you know, now you're navigating the DC school system with water. What are some of the differences you've seen between, like, Maryland schools as you experienced and schools as they exist today?
Honestly, I kind of experienced, like, a lot of the similarities. There's just a lot of inequity. So when I went to school in Bowie, but my family and I ended up moving to District Heights. I know some people say District Heights, Suitland, Forestville, so just that area right there, like right across Suitland Parkway. And my dad just had, like, a really hard time with equity. Like, my in-boundary school was Forestville. So I went to Forestville. I was taking certain classes, and some of the classes that I wanted to take, I couldn't take. So he had to go to the PG County school board, get approval for me to go to Suitland to take some of the classes that I needed to take because I was trying to prepare. I was trying to prepare for college, and it was just, like, really hard for my dad. Like, it was really hard for him to get that approval. And now that I look back on it, a child should not have to attend two different schools to receive a quality education. And when I look at D.C., children should not have to travel across the river to receive an amazing education. They should be able to go to their in-boundary school or a school that is, you know, in the vicinity of their neighborhood. There is just so much inequity, and I think that's just part of the reason of why, like, that I'm running is because we have to close some of those inequities. Like, it shouldn't matter where you live in D.C. Like, these are children. Like, this is my child, you know? Like, all of our kids should be able to access a high-quality education, and they should be able to access a high-quality education in their backyard right here in Ward 8. Was that helpful?
Very helpful. We have a musical break, and we are going to get back to doing more chatting with LaJoy Law on the One Mic Stand with Simply
Nay. Yes. Thank you, Simply Nay. You're awesome. Thanks.
Now, a good friend of mine sat with me and he cried. He told me a story, I know he hadn't lied. Said he went for a job, and this my man said, without an education, you might as well be dead. Now, don't get me wrong, that it's not who you are. But people come to me from a near and a far. But I do just the work, and I follow the rules. Didn't have an education, so I had to go back to school. My friend told all his buddies that he loved so well, and all their personal troubles, I will not tell. Now those guys didn't seem good, and they didn't seem bad. They didn't seem so happy, and I know they weren't sad. But the point is it, that they follow the rules. They got an education, and they all finished school. Underneath his tears, I could see the truth back. When he dropped out of school, he never, never went back. Got to listen now. Without an education, look here. So one day he got tired of his little spending chain. So he looked up his friends to check their pay ring. When he got there, the crib, he found that he was a drag. Cause man, they were clean, and his clothes were like red. One was a businessman with a plenty of dough. He had his thing so set up, he knew he couldn't blow. The other had his job so uptight. He had his whole family and his kids all out of sight. Tell me one more time now. Without an education, what made him so hurt that these were his friends and he was a drag? They looked at him and he was in the same old bag. For his friends, they worked real hard when the work their way through. Now he realized he should have done the same thing too. Tell me one more time now. Look at him. Without an education, got to get some money now. Education, but the last time I'm gonna say, they kept on pushing when the going was tough, and now they know that things don't seem so rough. So kids, stay in school, don't be no drag. Take a fool's advice and stay out of that bag. Tell me one more time, without an education, you've got to get some money now. Without an education, don't be a dropout. Stay in school now. Listen to me.
The incomparable James Brown with Don't Drop Out.
Y'all didn't even know he had a song about not dropping out of school. I'm back with y'all. LaJoy Law, who is running for State Board of Education in Washington, D.C. Obviously, I played that song because I wanted to talk about some of the things that you see that are plaguing our education system locally. Just observations that you made as a parent, as, an employee of AJE. What are some of the things that you've seen that have lent itself to students dropping out and, like, really not wanting to engage with the education system as it currently stands?
Yeah, I'm thinking about, like, all the issues. I'm like, wow, it's a lot. And one of the biggest issues that our youth are facing is mental health. Like, we really have to do a better job of getting mental health support in schools, not sending, our kids out to different agencies, but rather either partnering with those agencies or bringing them into the schools, because our children, honestly, are just, like, really, really suffering. And I tell, folks all the time, these children, they are souls, and we have souls on the line, and we just have to do a better job. Our children are dealing with bullying. I know a lot of, whether a child has special needs or not, bullying is such a big issue. Our children are facing different, like, discipline issues, ranging from in-school suspension, early pickup, calling parents literally all the time, hey, come pick up your child, we're having issues, come pick them up early, out-of-school suspensions, expulsions. Also around springtime, a lot of parents, springtime, and I say lottery time, just trying to navigate, like, where am I going to send my child? How do I, what is my in-boundary school? What other, charter schools are out there? So just trying to, like, navigate that system as they're applying for the D.C. school lottery. And just for parent reference, it, for pre-K 3-8, the lottery does end March 3rd. So if you are looking to change schools, the deadline is March 3rd. I just want to, like, put that out there just for families to know, if you don't know already. And that's through my school, DC. But parents sometimes even have trouble kind of navigating that process. But I think the biggest issue that I'm seeing is really with bullying in special education. They're just really, and this is ranging from, it's in elementary school, but it really takes a heighten in middle and high school, and just kind of, like, other safety concerns that families are facing. In regards to special education, there's just, like, this kind of heightened season of getting children evaluated and getting them diagnosed. Then we have issues with IEP implementation or 504 implementation, and I can go into detail about that later. But it's just accessing aftercare and before care sometimes. I know a lot of families are struggling with that. So it's just kind of a little bit of everything. But I think what breaks my heart the most is honestly the bullying and the mental health, because our kids are just really going through it, and they shouldn't have to look outside to get resources. We should be able to provide resources in the schools, because that's where they are, a good, 5 days out of the week. So
yep.
That's my take on it.
They spend more time in school than they do at home.
They do, and I think sometimes, like, when I listen to families, at AJE, they're in tears, because, parents are feeling kind of helpless, like, okay, I put in, a bullying report. I contacted, the bullying contact person, like what's happening? Like, where do I go? And I think as a city, we have to do better with supporting our schools and our principals and our teachers, because I think a lot of people are experiencing burnout, and they're experiencing burnout very rapidly. So our teachers and our staff and principals and schools are feeling just the over, you know, they're overwhelmed, right? And our kids are overwhelmed. So we have to figure out better policy and better programs and not just adequate, but equitable funding to make sure that our schools have the resources they need to be successful.
What do you envision success looks like across the board for all students?
Honestly, so every kid has individual needs, right? Every kid honestly has like their own way of learning. And my vision is that every single child in this city can access a school that can accommodate their individual needs and that accommodates their family's needs, and that the school has the resources to be able to teach all the children, not just in an equitable way, but just a thriving way. I'm sure, again, I'm sure that's probably like a fan, you know, like in fantasy world, but education is a civil right. And every single child in the District of Columbia should be able to access a high quality education. Every parent should be able to put their child in a high quality school. That's the way it should be.
That's real. That's really real.
Yeah.
I want to take a moment and pivot because I know that folks who are listening to this who may be considering running for office themselves. Could you just take a moment and speak some encouragement to them?
Oh my God, absolutely, absolutely. So first of all, let's just be real here. Let's put politics to the side because we're all people, right? We all have things that are going on. We all have families. And just prayers to everybody on the campaign trail and just encouragement to you. Be safe out there because real talk, it doesn't matter win, lose, or draw. We're a community. This educational fight, okay, that we're fighting, this is a community fight. Like, it's not going to take one person fix all. That's not the way it's going to work. We all have to do this together. We have to bind together. So if you're running, blessings to you for stepping up to be a leader in the community to say, hey, like, we're taking the community with us. We're doing this together. So blessings to you, prayers to you and your loved ones and your family. I know I'm trying to make sure that I take care of my self-care. So throughout all the campaign stress, just try to just make sure you take care of yourself. Because at the end of the day, when the campaign is over, when this election is over, life still goes on. Like when this campaign season is over for me, I'm still a mother, and I'm a single mother. I still have to be there for my daughter. Like my daughter is looking to me, and she's looking at the way I move. So be kind to each other. Pray for one another. Send love to one another. Even if you don't agree, it's okay. It's okay to disagree. But be kind. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So be kind to one another today.
That was deep.
And I had to use the name. It's true. We have to be kind to each other today. We just got to be kinder to each other.
Some people are only concerned about who's running for principal. I mean, not principal, president. This talk about school has me. Folks are only concerned about who's running about president. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of voting down the ballot?
So, first of all, voting, the presidential election is very important, so please do get out there and vote. But the local everyday issues that parents and families and just different individuals in Ward 8 and across the city are facing, those things are affected by local legislation, okay? So like the mayor, you know, council members, the state board of education, the delegate. You know, these local elections are just so important because we have to remember, even though D.C. is not a state, everything that we're doing is affected by D.C. law, by executive orders, okay? The folks that you encounter at DHS, you know, when you're trying to get, it affects Medicaid, it affects SNAP, the Supplement Nutrition Assistance Program. I know it's formerly known as, like, food stamps, okay? Like, all, like that, everything that we're doing locally affects that. The D.C. child care vouchers, like, for parents who are working and to try to get, you know, that supplement for, like, before and after care, it affects that. Sales tax, local tax, your tax return, come on, it's February. It is February. It's tax time. So local D.C. politics is going to affect that. Like when you're voting for your council members, they are having a say-so in what taxes should be. When you're voting for the mayor, you're voting for someone to, you know, that has like a D.C. vision on what the schools should be doing. When you're voting for your state board of education representative, you're voting for someone to represent you about graduation requirements that affect not only your child but children across the city. So it's important. Get out there and vote, because everything that we're doing is affected by local D.C. politics and policy. So get out there, vote. Your voice matters. So don't think that, oh, my voice isn't going to matter. No, your voice does matter. Your vote does matter. Your children matter. Your family matters. You matter. So let your voice be heard. Get out there and vote. I believe is it June 2nd, right? Just correct me if I'm wrong. June 2nd, I believe, for primary, and November 3rd for the general. Correct me if I'm wrong. I just want to make, you know, it's been a long day, so y'all work with me. So those two, get out there, vote, because the folks that you're voting for or that you choose to vote for are representing you.
I think this is the perfect time for a song break, and then I'm going to talk to you about post-secondary education options. That should be available to our students and like adult learners. Let's talk about that when we come back on my stand with something.
Absolutely.
Dang, going out like a sucker, no way.
I'm nice right now, man. I feel good. If you have a drink, would you please put it in the air? That party last night was awfully crazy. I wish you saved it. I danced my ass off and had this one girl completely naked. Drink my beer and smoke my weed, but my good friends is all I need. Pass out at 3, wake up at 10, go out to eat, then do it again. Man, I wanna go to college for the rest of my life. Sip Bankers Club and drink Miller Lite. On Thursday and Tuesday night ice. And now I can get pizza, a dollar a slice. So fill up my cup, let's get fucked up. I'm next on the table, who want what? I am champion at beer pong. Allen Iverson, Akeem Olajuwon. Don't even bounce, not in my house. Better hope you make it, otherwise you naked. Time isn't wasted when you're getting wasted. Woke up today and all I could say is, that party last night was awfully crazy. I wish you tasted it.
I wish you tasted it.
I danced my ass off and had this one girl completely naked. Drink my beer and smoke my weed, but my good friends is all I need. Pass out at 3, wake up at 10, go out to eat, then do it again. Man, I love college. Tell you what I learned from school, but I can tell you a story or two. Yeah, of course I learned some rules, like don't pass out with your shoes on, and don't leave the house till the booze gone, and don't have sex if she's too gone. When it comes to condoms, put two on, then tomorrow night, find a new joint. Hold the beer bong, nothing wrong with some fun, even if you did get a little bit too drunk. Time isn't wasted when you're getting wasted. Woke up today and all I can say is that party last night was awfully crazy. I wish you tasted it. I danced my ass off and had this one girl completely naked. Drink my beer and smoke my weed, but my good friends is all I need. Pass out three, wake up at 10, go out to eat, then do it again. Everybody would please put their drink as high as they can. As high as they can, and repeat after me. Chug, 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 chug. Fresh mint, fresh mint, fresh mint, fresh mint. Do something crazy, do something crazy, do something crazy, do something crazy. Keg spin, keg spin. I love it.
That party last night.
All right, everybody. I gotta head back to class for a little bit.
That party last night was awfully crazy. I wish you tasted.
You know what's going down.
I danced my ass off and had this one girl completely naked. Drink my beer and smoke.
You're all invited.
But my good friends.
Bring your friends.
All I need. Pass out at 3. Wake up at 10. Go out to eat. Then do it again. Man, I love college.
Do I really have to graduate or can I just stay here for the rest of my life?
This is the one stand with Simpson. And we are still here until 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's time for Simpson in these streets. And I want to give you two dates that you need to remember. This upcoming Wednesday, February 19, 2020, Jonathan B. Tucker hosts the Wednesday night open mic at Bus Boys and Poets for 50 K Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. Hi, my dear. I'm your featured artist. Malik Crumpler is your spot artist. It means so much to me if you fly by and partake in the festivities. Again, that's February 19th, 2020, Wednesday night open mic at Bus Boys and Poets for 50K. You'll see Simply Nay in these streets. And mark your calendars for March the 22nd, 2020 at 7 p.m. because Simply Nay is one of the finalists for Who's Funny in the DMV. At this event, the winner will be chosen by a point system derived by the audience. That's you. You'll be required, that's me, I'll be required to bring at least 5 people to watch me compete. That is never a problem. In order to compete in this competition, I was required to be a comedian with less than 3 years experience. And I had to submit a 5 to 7 minute video of myself performing. The prizes include $200 cash prize, a feature booking at Bus Boys, $100 stipend, a guest spot during the DC Comedy Fest, a guest spot at Attack of the Dead Comics, Draft House Show, and membership with legendary DC comedian. So I'm hoping that I see March 22nd, 2020 at Bus Boys and Poets in V Street Northwest again, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we converse about who's funny in the DMV. There's one other date I'd really love you to hold. That is Wednesday, February. Let me make sure I have it right. Wednesday, February the 26th. I'll be moderating a very important conversation for those who are Black and undecided voters. So if you find yourself Black and undecided as it relates to the presidential election, please take a moment to join me at 1420 Columbia Road Northwest,
Washington, D.C. Again, that's 1420 Columbia Road, Northwest Washington, D.C. The conversation kicks off at 6:30 p.m., and we would love to see you in the place. Food will be served, and child care will be provided. As promised, we're going to get back to our interview with Ms. Floyd, law candidate for D.C. State Board of Education, specifically representing Ward 8. So, LaJoy, we only have a few minutes, but I wanted to get your thoughts on expanding the conversation in primary school about expanding post-secondary options. Does that make sense? I think too often we make kids think that it's college or bust. And I think we've been good, particularly in D.C., in showing students that they have multiple options. Would you agree with that observation?
I definitely agree that students do have multiple options, and I think that you, again, as families with choice, you have to do what's best for your child according to their individual needs. So when we talk about, like, secondary transition, my mind kind of shifts to our students that have disabilities. Like, that, and it may be a little overwhelming sometimes for families. So if you are a family out there who has a child in special education, your IEP team should start transition planning at 14 and to start figuring out, you know, what's best for the child. Is it working? Is it community college? Is it, you know, a four-year college? Is it a combination of both? Is it getting into a program who has life skills, you know, or is the child on a the certificate of completion, that track where the child will be still attending school until 22. But then I think about my families who have children that don't have disabilities. I think you also can start transition planning at 14, you know, like when you get to high school. If you start doing it early, it won't be as overwhelming, you know, as time goes on, but there are just so many multiple options, and I think a family has to decide what's best for my child and what's best for our family.
You've said so much poignant and, like, extremely necessary, like, so much. Like, so much of this has been so good, as they say on TV. So good, so good, so good. I want to ask you to give your contact information and maybe folks who want to donate to your campaign or stay in contact with you, any of the things. So how should folks be willing to reach you?
Oh, absolutely. So I'm definitely on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm under LaJoy, LAJOY, J Law, LAW. And to give, you can go on LaJoy Law 2020.com. And if you just reach out to me on any platform, I'm here. And I just appreciate you all having this conversation with me. Honored to be here with you, May. Thank you so much. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. It's been another episode of the One Mic Stand with Simply May. We are going to close off with the final song. If you remember, everybody played this at their graduation. The song is actually called Graduation by Vitamin C. My check on vitamin C.
Yeah. what now? Can we survive it out there? Can we make it somehow? I guess I thought that this would never end. And suddenly it's like the women in me.